Hey, hey, and welcome to the latest issue of the Three Old Geeks podcast. I am joined once again by the usual cast of characters and a very special guest. First of all, the sometimes ruinator, always the contrarian, the keeper of the inner sanctum, and the numbers guy, Keith the Keys Comics. Keith, how are you?
I'm here. That's all I got.
I'm the one that's coming off of COVID, and you're the low energy guy.
Sorry.
And of course, the man who's always wrong with a hole of several of his collections, the Clown Prince of Collecting, the Pictures Guy, and I'm not going to use that fourth one. Brian needs one. Brian, how are you?
I am wonderful. I am magical. I am here.
And then, of course, we've got the spawn of Needs One, Rhiannon, how are you, and why are you back here?
She is magical! She is wonderful!
Where's her long cape?
I'm back here explicitly for this podcast. I didn't want to come visit him. He was just kind of a
boy, you need to set your priorities in order. You really do.
No, I am, I'm good.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Well, I am, of course, the, even longer suffering, world's oldest kid sidekick. I am the words guy. My name is Lance, and ladies and gentlemen. And now, more energy!
You didn't see, but he did jazz
fucking
hands
for that. Positive, this fucking podcast needs it. And welcome to another issue! Brian, do you have any high-energy news for us today?
Yes, I do. I certainly do.
Dude.
Is this a musical episode?
Did you record the record of the Edmund Fitzgerald yet?
Did I record it?
Dude, you need to record that. From last week. I'm serious. You need to do a rendition of that fucker.
Okay, well, we may end up doing that.
That might be like a bonus material.
So, unfortunately, Lance was taken out by the coof.
Fucking day the goddamn emergencies ended the day after I avoided for 3 fucking years and I get COVID.
But Keith and I went to see The Flash. We got to see a premiere. Thank you, Keith. It was wonderful.
It was.
I thought it was, you know what, I'm going to go out on a limb and say it was probably in the top 5 of my favorite
wow.
It's superhero movies.
Definitely better than almost all the DC.
I think it's better than all the DC. I don't. Wow. I haven't, and I'm a huge fan of the Snyderverse. Yeah, I love the Snyder Justice League. I
still love Wonder Woman. Still love
the original Wonder Woman. The original Batman, which this one went into. But you know what? The way that they handled pop culture, the way that they handled the changing of the future, the little things that they threw in were amazing. I mean, they were fucking amazing.
There were a bunch of holy shit moments.
Yes,
the Easter eggs are like. Plenty.
And deep dive.
Yeah.
Deep dive shit that you really have to know. They threw shit in that, I'm going to tell you, if you haven't seen, there's like 3 pictures of one, and the story is only told as far as I know in the Kevin Smith documentary that's 4 hours long. That's the only place I've ever heard the story that he tells that they put in this movie. So if you haven't seen those 2 things put together, you would have no.
Does Nicolas Cage make an appearance as like Superman or something like
I
that?
I am not going to ruin it.
We don't spoil things.
We don't spoil things.
Okay,
here.
We spoil things all the time.
All those
here,
NDAs we signed.
Oh my God! All
right.
You headbang.
Bang your head. Quiet Riot is not in it. But just the deep dive stuff that they put in, the there were a lot of cheering moments, a lot of things that you just were not expecting. I could tell they said in the beginning that this is not the final version of the film, and that it's not done yet. And you could tell because the ending CGI was not great.
No.
Okay, so this was almost like a cold open type of thing.
Yeah,
like,
I think that it's trying to get audience reactions to make sure that everything,
a test screening.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was, Ezra Miller did an amazing job, a fucking amazing job.
Well, and for you to say that, because I know he's not
like
your favorite guy.
I went in wanting to hate him.
And
I didn't, which was, you know.
I don't like him.
He's a piece of shit human, but he can act.
But yeah, what he did in this film was amazing.
Wow.
And Michael Keaton, no spoilers there, gives you everything you want as Batman. I mean, he throws in things that you're just like, oh my fucking God. It's just brilliant. And not the way that you would expect him to be. Completely out of context.
Not helping.
Not helping. Not helping.
Excuse me more.
But I don't know that I could recommend this film more. Wow. I think that this could
That's
be
a ringing endorsement of
Disney's Saving Grace. The ending was the little twist. It was really good.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go see it to see if they added anything or.
Yeah, yeah, I'll see it again. It was the Supergirl character was great.
Supergirl. Oh, okay.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. How they did it was good. How they did it was good. But excellent. Excellent.
Yeah. And it's not Flashpoint. Everyone thinks this is going to be an adaptation of Flashpoint. It's not.
Nope.
They do take things from that, but it's way different, and I think it works out better. They couldn't have done Flashpoint.
I think that by associating it with Flashpoint, it actually hurts the film more than...
It gives you a certain expectation.
Yes.
So
yeah, and they're not there. Those will not be met.
Yeah.
And there's some weird shit that you just kind of look at and go, why? That's stupid.
It's stupid. The one thing it does, as a Ruinator, contrarian, whatever, it suffers from time travel ailments that every movie that does time travel.
Except that they threw in some stupid stuff with it. Just when he's going back in time.
Yeah.
I even looked at Keith at one point, and I questioned what I was seeing on the screen.
Yeah.
And I was like, is he really doing... And Keith was like, just watch, Brian.
just shut up
just
and watch.
there's that, and just... Yeah, time doesn't work right in any movie, and this is not...
Yeah,
this isn't the one that perfects it, that's for sure.
Yeah, this isn't the one that solves all the problems.
You just gotta have fun.
But what they do throw in is just a lot of fucking fun. Yeah, I really enjoy
it. And then,
this.
Then it is one laughed out loud several times at it.
Yes.
Enjoyed this, but then there's a darker side to it, too.
Yeah.
Which
they did very, very well.
Which actually comes up and you're like, wow, this got serious really quick.
Yeah. And so. I'm throwing in the Marvel movies when I say this is one of the top five.
Wow.
That's huge.
I mean, it took 20 years to build up to Endgame and Infinity War. It took 20 years to build up to that. For you to go, okay, that's my number one or number two. And there were some slow moments in that. There were not a lot of slow moments in this.
Well, this was also, like you said, probably shorter than it's going to be. It's probably because it was just under 2 hours.
Yeah. I hope that they don't add a whole lot to...
They're going
to
add some, I would imagine, and then you're going to have the 40 minutes of credits we didn't have to endure.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We didn't have that. But excellent. So... and then, of course, we've got a few unfortunate passings and some big ones. Big ones for us. I'm going to start off with my Hulk Hogan, which was superstar Billy Graham. And when I saw Hulk Hogan, I remember the first time seeing Hulk Hogan going, it's superstar Billy Graham, but he's not doing it as well.
Both Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan, the two seminal wrestlers of my day, both... can directly trace they do to superstar Billy Graham.
Oh yeah, he was the top of the line. Like I said, he was my Hulk Hogan, and I thought he did it better. We also lost Ray Stevenson, who was
the Punisher, Volstagg. Yeah.
Volstagg. I kept going Vulcan. He wasn't in Star Trek. Voltron.
He's making his last appearance in
Ahsoka. Yeah. That was just a surprise, and he was so young. I say that because he was a year older than me.
Yeah, he was not too much older than me, so...
No. A favorite of ours from the movies, Jim Brown. Not just an amazing fucking football player. Yeah, one of the greatest that the game's ever seen.
Quit when he was on top. It's like, how often does that happen?
Yeah, and then he got into films, and he got in at the right time, because that was the whole blaxploitation time. And now as we're exploring and I can't even think of the word. My words are gone.
Rediscovering
those and how good they were. some amazing films, he was prominent. So, and then the biggest, probably the biggest blow is Tina Turner. It's just, you better be good to me. Boy, we were good to her. I think
she was good to us.
She was good to us. She was great to us. She owned the fucking 80s. Owned them. And the 70s. Just Proud Mary. No one will do that song better.
The energy in Proud Mary, like if you watch that I think it's a Sullivan Live performance or something with Ike. The one that's kind of famous where she's got the fringe dress on and she's just going. She's
vibrating through the floor.
Exactly. Like, I mean, like, name somebody who could do that now. The fuck with that, you know?
No. No, you know, the version that you hear on the radio with, we like to start off some song slow. And then we get fast.
Yeah.
It's fucking amazing. Fucking amazing. What a performer. Yeah. Tina Turner, God rest her soul.
All right, so the podcast is about to get a lot worse because we have cracked the top 10 of Tubi's worst movies of all times, and we have hit number 7, entitled Frankenstein Meets the Space Monster from 1965, directed by Robert Gaffney, written by R.H.W. Dillard, if that is your real name, George Garrett and John Rodenbach, starring James Caron, Marilyn Harold, James Caron, who's listed twice on Wikipedia, Lou Coutel, and a cast of thousands. And that should just go to show you that this one... The best way I can describe this one is if Roger Corman produced an Ed Wood movie, it would look a little something like this.
It's actually not... That's a very apt description.
So, yes, you have a android robot, whatever you want to call it, who's supposed to be going to Mars. The aliens decide to invade at the same time. They shoot down his rocket. He is damaged and is wandering around the Florida or Puerto Rican beaches while the aliens are invading the island in order to steal women for breeding Mars. Purposes.
Yeah. Yeah. Mars needs women. Always needs women.
So Frankenstein is technically it's the loosest interpretation of Frankenstein and where it's Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah.
He's
like some sort of Frankenstein.
What made me laugh through this whole thing.
I've got two things that made me, not through the whole thing, two fucking things that had me going, but go ahead.
Is my daughter, every time that they would show, Lou Coutel, who was the right-hand man.
Dr. Nadir?
Yeah. Every time he would say something, she would always go, "Why is he smiling?
Because he did
Why
like
is he smiling?"
It was a super creepy, like, kind of smile that he did at the end of every sentence. I was like, dude, chill.
Martians are very happy people.
I don't think that was just any,
I could not get John Lovitz out of my...
Oh, my God.
He was totally... to the point where I was looking this guy up to see, like, was he John Lovitz's dad or something like that? Because this guy was totally John Lovitz in a Saturday Night Live sketch. Doing Batboy from the Weekly World News or something like that. He had me... Every time he showed up on screen, I was like, this guy is the fucking best.
He's probably a eunuch. He's pale and bald.
There you go, with pointy ears.
The cast in this was amazing.
Uh-oh. I smell a song coming on here.
No, Lou Coutel has 102 credits to his name, and you know him. And he was in everything in the 80s. But you know him, and I'm going to show you a picture, because I know the picture.
Where do I know that picture from?
I know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know him. But the other one...
James Caron. Yeah.
Fucking Frank in Return of the Living Dead.
Yeah, exactly.
And he has like 270 acting credits to his name.
Yeah, he
is fucking amazing. And
he's been in tons of things. Yeah.
Yeah, you know who these people are. Marilyn Hanold is Playboy Playmate, June of 59.
we knew that.
Exactly. Well, we're likes and dislikes.
But Nancy Marshall, who played Karen Grant, not a lot of TV credits, big on Broadway. So, and still alive. James Karen, though. As soon as I saw that he was Frank on Return of the Living Dead, I was like, oh my God, I love this guy. You've seen him in everything. And I could tell from just seeing him. But what an... And Luke Cattell, who played Dr. Nadir. I could not fucking believe it. But, yeah, I know the guy. Again, in the 80s, he was everywhere. So, there you go.
Star-studded.
It was... Well, you know what? It's not that it was star-studded, but what it was recognizable
faces.
Great character actors. Yeah. You have these... And some of them are just starting out. Like James Caron, this... He had roles before this, but... Yeah, it's he was Maurice in Lois and Clark, The New Adventures.
That didn't help at all, but okay, thank you.
Thank you so much.
He was in Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
He was the doorman in Mad About You. you have these great character actors that just pop up. They're never going to carry a movie, which is probably why these movies are not great. You don't have that... leading man energy. What you do have, though, is these great character actors who are going to make...
All right. I thought that this thing was punching above its weight as far as, like, I thought the special effects for, like, the all fucked up robot guy, like, the side of his face was all, like, burned, but then there was, like, little circuit boards popping through and stuff like that. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
I thought that the... for kind of the homemade UFO... I thought that was it was pretty stinking good.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a geodesic dome on top of some stilts and stuff like that. I thought, you know what? Somebody put a little effort into that.
Yes, they did. The monster, I thought, was pretty effing good. And I thought that the way they filmed it within the smoke and the shaking camera, they did a great job with that.
It looked like it had been used in something else. It looked familiar to me, but I couldn't picture where.
You know, unfortunately, man, there's just no fucking trivia about this movie, which was crazy. You know what I mean? It's not...
All right, but the thing that got me going, so at the beginning they're introducing the astronaut robot guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's having the press conference, and there's the reporters there, and they're asking questions, and he totally just freezes.
And then they just focus on the photograph of him.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm sitting there going, fucking Tubi, are you fucking acting up again, or my fucking TV, or whatever? I thought that the fucking, like, my app froze. I'm yelling at the TV, and all of a sudden it starts going again. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, because it just basically focuses on the photograph of him. It's like...
But yeah, I mean, was it bad? Yes. Is it my kind of bad movie? Yes, it was.
Yeah, I'm about to say, it wasn't horrible bad. It was fun bad.
It was fun, cheesy, B-movie bad. You know, you could tell, like, they just recruited the kidnapped women from the local beaches or whatever. Like, hey, do you want to be in a movie?
Yeah, they all just happened to be wearing bikinis.
Kind of, they just kind of, like, all marched women. Onto the freaking...
Poor one girl got rejected. No.
Yeah.
No, dissolved. Sorry.
Yeah, it's all she's gone.
What? Ouch. Yeah, almost offensive. Ow. It's offensive. I thought the music was really good. Like, all those montages they did with all those...
There was some weird music.
It was exactly the right spot for that jangly, like, folk rock that everybody's trying to be, like, the Beatles and stuff like that. And I thought the music was ear-catching. It's like I kind of get distracted for a second, then there's a song coming up, and be like, hey, that's not bad.
But they were really weird, because when they rushed into the cars, it was like this weird, like, almost jingly music. I'm like, what? It's like...
Well, and...
Yes, and it was kind of annoying. Yeah, but there were a couple of times where I was singing along.
Dad and I were jamming. We were just... They did
good. And all these movies, like, it was like they always had to capture, like, the teenage dance party. So they had, like, the band next to the pool. And they're all, like, dancing by them. You know, like, the women are all dancing by themselves.
And they just filmed their asses.
You gotta zoom in on the asses.
That was the only thing. They just filmed their asses.
The creeping murderer was.
They're focusing a lot on their asses, aren't they, Dad? Well, that's the important part of the film.
It was the 60s. It was a different time then, honey.
Going to say is that Robert Glover, who played the monster, also played a Martian crew member.
Okay, yeah.
And the space monster.
Okay. Right, this was on Wikipedia. What else was he famous for, Brian?
Crispin Glover's dad or something?
Crispin Glover's dad.
You're kidding me.
No, not kidding.
Okay.
And he was Mr. Wint, the assassin in Diamonds Are Forever.
Mr. Wint being the guy with the hair, not the balding one, right? Because there was Mr. Wint and Mr. Kidd. And one of them had like the skullet. He had like the ball with the ball at the top with the long on the back.
Oh, yeah, no,
he skullet.
No, and this was originally supposed to be a comedy. And I missed the comedic elements. They were going to have him piece together with tap dancers' legs, and he would start to dance whenever he heard Sweet Georgia Brown.
Oh,
that would have been fucking phenomenal.
That would have made this a classic.
That would have, but this was James Cameron's film debut. So this
do you know what song Sweet Georgia Brown is? That's the Harlem Globetrotters theme music.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No.
I did not know that. Yeah. Oh. And that the vast majority of this movie is stock footage.
Oh.
Yeah.
God, but,
so funny.
Was, and they never said they were from Mars. They never mentioned their home planet, the name of their home planet.
No, they didn't.
Because
they wouldn't call it Mars.
They just said space, and then they were talking about like how what was it?
They knew women are dying off, or they can't reproduce or something. So we need
due to our atomic war, the women are all sterile. Yeah. In order to save our race, we must.
He was also the Leo Cutel was the proctologist in Seinfeld, where
Ass Man,
Dr. Ass Man, where. Kramer accidentally gets his license plates. Yeah.
All right. Great. Super fun B movie.
Not the worst. What is this? Seven on the list?
This is number seven. Yeah. This is more fun than anything.
Yeah.
We've watched worse. We've watched much worse than this.
No. You know what? Again, in each of these films, if you dig a little, there's always something about it that's just fun
or
interesting.
At least the conversation we're having about it is interesting, you know?
Yeah.
And it sparked that. It's actors that you know from other things. That's just fun to see them.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Frank from Return of the Living Dead. Are you fucking kidding me? That's one of my favorite all-time movies.
Just a fun little quirky movie. They were like, here's an idea. We'll just run with
this. And it got made.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody fucking made it.
And it's just funny. And I feel like it was funny to me that, like, the actual Frankenstein versus the space monster portion of the movie, the title of the movie was, like, 20 seconds.
At the very end.
At the very end. Yeah. And that was it. Other than that, it was just about aliens stealing women. And it was, like, the whole... I thought that was really funny.
That and how only, great like, was that?
Which part?
That was such a groundbreaking reason. Aliens to come to our planet.
Oh, they've only done that, what, 2 or 3 dozen times?
Yeah.
Well, and what was that purification process, I think, where they put, like, the sheet? They weren't even,
they
like,
were
the...
breeding. It's like, what they breeding more than she's not.
Yeah, what they were doing was kicking out the horse.
Good for them.
it's
been a while.
It's been a while. There you go. And she set me up. So I have to thank my daughter for that.
For setting me up.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Brandon.
Great. So he was on his best behavior for a long time until you showed up, Rick.
What can I say?
What can we say? What do we rate this fun little science fiction romp?
I give it a 3. You know what? Mm-hmm. 3.5, James Cameron.
I'll give it 3.5. Yeah.
3.5, James Cameron.
You give it higher?
I'm thinking this might be in a new rotation. I really kind of like this one. For the soundtrack alone, just for that kind of surf rock, you know, folk rock type stuff. I'm going to go 4 stars.
This one's going to go into your rotation, seriously.
Yeah, I liked it. I really did.
You have such a heavy rotation. Your rotation
rotation is very light, so I need some more.
Okay.
Reed, what do you want? What do you think?
It was funny. It was light. It wasn't really like lighthearted in the normal sense, but... it's quirky. I'm going to give it like a 3, probably.
All right. That's Frankenstein Meets a Space Monster. Give it a watch. Let us know what you think.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
All right. So, for Sunday Afternoon Kung Fu Theater, we have broken away from Detective D and instead gone with Detective Greasy Rat. I mean, Detective Sleek Rat.
Greasy Rat.
I like Greasy Rat better. And there was a ton of rats in these. In this
one,
there was five rats. But yes, we watched Detective Sleek Rat and the Bloody The Legend of the Bloody City.
He's not really a detective.
No, he's
a knight errant.
A knight errant, a she in Chinese.
Yeah, so he's not really a detective, but he likes interjecting himself because he gets jealous. He has many, many flaws, yes.
And he's also very observant. So there was a lot of, this guy, and boy, I pride myself on being a good subtitles guy and stuff like that. This was on YouTube. The subtitles were flying fast and furious here. There was a lot of names to try to keep up with, and this one was tough sledding.
The only real problem that I had with the subtitles was there were two times when there was kind of a narrator at the cafe.
Yeah.
And so both times that they did that, they had the narrator talking, and then they would have a conversation. Yeah. So they would either give you the conversation and you didn't know what the narrator was saying, or they would give you the narrator and you don't know what the conversation was.
Yeah, most of the time it was a conversation with the narrator still talking, who's giving you information too, and it's like,
yeah, he's giving you the origin of the five rats.
Yeah. And then he's also like the town crier, he's giving you some news of, this guy has retired from government service or something. Yeah.
Bravo!
And the crowd goes wild. Yay. That's the only thing I could think of when they showed that. I was dying.
I think that I loved this more than you guys did.
I am suffering from detective fatigue, I think.
Next week we're just going to have a standard.
I'm thinking next week we need to have an old school Shaw Brothers classic. I got an idea, but...
Okay, because I have one picked out.
Okay.
And it's one. It's a one that we haven't... an actor we haven't gone with.
All right, but yes, so you've got a series of murders. These guys are getting ambushed and shot with arrows.
Yeah.
Like on the street, it's almost like drive-bys or something like that.
Yeah. It was cool.
The Sleek Rat comes along and kind of interjects himself like, hey, what's going on here? And,
Is it attacked by a bunch of ninjas or whatever you want to
call
it?
Yeah, the Brotherhood of the
Dragon Slayers.
Dragon Slayers.
And they are kind of anti-government, as it seems like all of these ones, there's some sort of anti-government faction or an old conquered peoples that are trying to get their revenge on the Empire or something like that.
Yeah.
The beginning has, like, the five rats are all constables, but there's a change in power, so they all kind of...
Three of the rats are constables.
Three of the rats are constables, and they abdicate their office because they don't think they're going to get along with their new boss or something like that, which I wish I could do. The whole heart of it is they're trying to figure out why these guys are being assassinated and what's at the heart of this and stuff like that. And there's some kind of going back to the Shaw Brothers with that real bloody one with the guys with the masks all talking in like hushed whispers. And who are these guys in the masks? And even when they unmasked, the one guy was like, which one is that guy? I had trouble keeping track of all the suspects here. It was, like I said, this was a kind of a tough slog.
I tried to keep them. Track all the different names. It's like, even with the subtitle, I'm like, okay, which one's that one guy again? Okay. They should wear name tags.
Not only that, but it also seems like you can have the same character, but he's called two or three different things.
It's this guy, but he's also known as the Crawling Hand or something like that. Yeah.
And so they would call him that, and so you'd be like, well, who the fuck is that?
Yeah.
I did not have that as much trouble.
Okay. Fully for you.
But I did think that when he explained it at the end, which I thought you would like.
Oh, it was the full Agatha Christie, let's get all the suspects in the room for a dinner party, and you're the guilty party here, you know. And,
yes.
And I knew it was you.
But when he explains it, there was a lot of things that weren't in the movie.
Yeah.
That you...
yeah, you're like, oh, wait, what?
Wait, he didn't... There wasn't a... No... there wasn't an elephant scene.
Yeah,
I don't remember
exactly,
that.
Exactly.
And you're trading in tea? What the fuck?
When did you go to Shanghai? I don't. There was a there's a disconnect in may, and maybe if you were Chinese, you would have picked up.
Yeah,
on
there
some
might have
that.
Been culturally something. You know, again, there was no eunuch in this or whatever that was immediately like, oh, he's all bald and pale skinned or something like that. You know, so my the list of my ancient Chinese culture like stops with that or whatever.
What an eye patch.
He specializes, obviously.
Yeah, you're right. You need to.
I need to broaden my horizons.
Broaden your scope of eunuchs.
There are many that fit in.
Some have hair.
Some have hair and are not pale.
Oh, they're all pale.
Just at the thought of. The loss of the magical elements that Detective D had.
Oh, this was as grounded. This was a true detective story. This was as grounded got. There was no magical elements in this whatsoever, other than the just fantastic, you know, throwaway kung fu fights or whatever. And there was a ton of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually wanted more of those, actually.
Yeah, so did I.
I wanted them a little longer. Yeah, I missed some of the magical elements because it's just like. I had to watch this four times to stay awake for the whole thing. So it should be Detective Sleep Rat.
Take it out and play with you next time.
Yeah, that's what I plan on doing. And whenever I need to sleep, insomnia hits, throw that on. Bam.
There's over two dozen actors that have played the part. So okay. You have plenty of
So this is rat. Another legendary historical figure or mythical figure out of Chinese lore?
Yeah, mythical figure, yeah.
I'd almost rather see the five of them. I'd rather see the rat.
The story of the five rats. I was kind of curious. Like, why is this guy the under the hill rat and this guy the mountain rat and stuff like that? They didn't really give us a good explanation of that.
You know where I kind of lost it? I was interested. Don't get me wrong. There were a lot of stories that I wanted to see out of this.
Yeah.
Like, they had the three Axe brothers.
Yeah, and those guys were awesome.
The four freaks of blah blah blah, and that's how. Yeah, well, I knew one of them was a freak of such and such, and so blah blah blah. And when the Axe brothers killed themselves
with axes, which was pretty brutal. Yeah.
He's right.
Brother is right. Wait.
Do I get a bullet?
And one guy, one of the freaks was like the interlocking crossbow. Like, that was his nickname. I was like, what?
Yes.
Why is that? What? Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, they had the three Axe brothers, the four freaks, the five rats, and there was another set of,
And we didn't really get a good, like, the other ones had, like, the cool, like, okay, well, this guy's the big strong guy, and he's got a couple of axes, and this guy's got the black circle, and he's got all the knives or whatever. There wasn't a lot of that, yeah.
No. And they had too many groups for you to really be able to...
Yeah.
And why they were attacking. But he put it all together at the end, and it was good.
Sleek Rat has to always wear white.
Yeah, he's the only guy that wears his night suit. Yes. His night suit is white.
I thought that that was funny, because the one guy goes, why are you dressed in white?
Oh, of course, Sleek Rat's always dressed in white.
Yes, that is his night mask. What? And then he's like, yeah.
I like the fact he covers his face. He's dressed in white. No one else wears white. That'll save you.
Covers his face and the hair is all out.
Yeah.
He had the coolest hair. It was interesting. I like that the character is flawed. He's kind of an arrogant little prick.
Yeah.
And you get that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're a celebrity, so everybody knows you. And he's kind of like, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, with my kung fu, I can go anywhere.
Yeah. I did the little subtle, like, you know, like he figured out, like, oh, hey, that guy's just a gardener, but the way he's carrying himself, he knows something. He knows a little kung fu.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and then it turned out to be... And the scene with the husband and wife.
Yeah, they're like the infiltrators of the Black Dragon Slaying Society.
But
and they're
when
like,
he fucking turns to her and goes, I'm sorry, I thought I would grow old with you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. That just... Oh!
That she says like, has a great, like, well, I've spent enough time with you already that it's made my life worthwhile or something. I was like, holy shit!
Yeah,
exactly.
That was fucking great. I was like, holy Christ. And why didn't you... You're so good. Why didn't you... Stay
and help
them.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good idea too. What do you?
Well, because they had to stay to slow them down in order for them to get away.
But
if you killed them all, you wouldn't have to get away.
Yeah, but I don't think there was ever going to be an end. Well, okay. I think if you started that fight, which was the point of it,
yeah,
it was so. The only thing I could come up with. But what a, that was just a tear-jerking scene.
Yep.
Fuck. Yeah, it, you know what? I really enjoyed it. I mean, I am enjoying this genre of Chinese films. We'll get back to the cheap shit that you guys like.
Wow.
The stuff that
all right,
isn't
well,
too complex.
Considering this is such a highbrow thing, Mr. Needs One, what would you be your star rating?
Master Needs One.
Sleazy Rat, what is it?
I'd give it a 3.5. The subtitles were hard. I like the character. I like the story. I thought it was interesting at the end that she was about to have him killed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wasn't sure why.
There's still some story elements that I'm still a little dicey on.
There's gotta be stuff that was in previous episodes, whatever you want to call movies. That just...
Yeah, because I thought he solved it at the end, and then she was like,
well they said, didn't
who
they say
is
there's
the
still...
man behind the mask?
Yeah, there's still one...
Who is the octopus?
Dragon Slayer
or whatever.
Yeah.
And if you don't get rid of them, they'll sprout back up and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and then so he's about to drive off, and she has all
she
of
was,
the...
I assume she was a...
No, because it was an old man, remember? He was this shadow behind the chair.
Okay, I thought she was probably a double agent of some sort.
I thought that she had a thing for him.
Well, she obviously did.
Yeah.
She's very mournful right before she's about to kill him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was hard for her. It was a hard decision. Yeah, yeah. You could tell, and she did it well. And then her brother's like, hey, we got him. It's closed.
Yeah.
Everything's cool.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, you mind hanging out for a little bit? Well, I wanted to leave, but now they've sucked me back in.
You need my help some more? Well, I wouldn't be the legend if I didn't come save the day.
Keith, what was your legendary rating for this one?
I give it a 3. It's above average. I would like more of something. Either more
kung fu
fight.
Kung
or,
fu, more detective stuff.
Yeah, something,
or,
yeah. And
it was lacking the actual explainer, the going back, well, I figured out, and they actually acted out or whatever.
Yes,
I needed
exactly.
that.
The detective work needed to be explained, because I don't know how he figured it out.
Other and they didn't
the
show
one
it.
Guy whispered to someone, oh, that's guy.
Yeah.
Well, and I did notice the
and his
mutton.
Garden, and his,
the paper was from a place with mutton.
And there's only one tavern with mutton around.
Oh, yeah, they're eating the sheep's heads?
Yeah,
I noticed by your sign you serve dog.
Meat dog meat.
Oh, no, sir.
We're quite famous for our mutton.
Yeah, the lamb's head.
All right. You know what? 2.5 stars. Like Keith said, I needed more kung fu or more detective and an easier story. I just wasn't getting it.
I got my sleep, though. I was happy. I gave you an extra half star because I slept.
Keith got a good night's sleep. We'll leave it at that.
You know what? Yeah, I'm going to say that both Rhiannon and I fell asleep watching it, which is why she has been silent through this whole little part.
Casually browsing, so I didn't have to explain that I have no idea what this movie is about.
Spoiler alert.
All right, so we've been following along with the latest Star Wars offering on the Disney app, and that is Star Wars Visions, and we just watched episode number 2 entitled Screecher's Reach, which was done by the Irish animation studio Cartoon Saloon, and boy, was this one Irish.
Oh, I'm thinking you're right.
So yes, you have some kids working in what apparently is a 18th century Victorian workhouse.
Yes.
They decide to steal some speeders and go out to Screecher's Reach, which has a ghost in it. And the ghost is an Irish banshee with a lightsaber. And
it's a story as old as time itself.
Sorry. Yeah. And the lone... who's got this medal that she give me strength and courage, and it was a very Irish Catholic thing.
Yeah.
defeats the Banshee Sith or whatever, and a Sith that looks like every painting of a beatified Catholic female saint shows up, and she's actually a Sith, and takes her away and...
as her new apprentice.
As her new apprentice. So what do we think of this one, boys?
I was a little confused at the end with that being a Sith taking her. I was just a little confused by that.
The only reason I knew it was a Sith is because when like she's talking to her pendant and the pendant like talks back, it like flashes red along with her voice, and I'm like, oh well, she's a Sith. That means red is immediately it's a
Sith. Sith. And she was fighting with the red lightsaber, and obviously she was force sensitive. What threw me was that the first episode was about the Sith, and then the second episode was about the Sith. I really loved Screecher's Reach. I'm just that it's so fit with a kind of an Irish, or English place or myth,
like one of those old legendary places that's got a million ghost stories around it and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. It was tear jerking. The characterization was so spot on.
You know, for such a short thing, yeah, you did get to know all the family really well, and you felt for them, man.
These are all orphan kids, it looks like, and they band together as orphan kids do, and they're losing their big sister. And there was the feeling of that. The little kid, the little boy, the littler boy, was done very, very well. The just in his emotional range, which was surprising in a cartoon.
Actually, surprisingly emotional, like Keith was saying, like for a 12-minute piece or whatever, it really kind of hits you in the feels, as the kids like to say, you know.
Yeah, it's got
the kids scary, like to say that?
I heard that they did.
Okay.
They've got those hula hoops, which frightened me, though, so.
Oh, it's those flying discs that...
Get off my lawn!
And they never do. They never
they
do!
They always cut across my lawn!
That's why there's a Second Amendment.
Anywho.
First, you're in the First Amendment, then the Second.
So I was intrigued to find out, like, are different cultures interpreting Star Wars in different ways? And this is an example. To me, this is an example. Like I said, this was like an Irish...
wake? No.
Like, not an Irish wake, but like, I guess Irish literature is kind of always... To me, you struck me as being very melancholy, you know, and there's always an emotional price for things and stuff like that. And this felt like it fit right along with that type of a thing.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. And I'm excited now to watch more of them. It's been two that I've really liked, which I'm going to say for season one did not happen.
It dropped off the second one.
Dropped off immediately.
Yeah.
Because that wasn't the second the one, like the rock band or whatever with Jabba's. The Hutt kid or whatever.
Yeah. It wasn't Rada, was it?
Ooh.
Rada in the rock band. Yeah. I like this too. I thought this was really well done. It seemed to me like they took a story and shoved
Star Wars into it. Yeah.
That as I'm watching, I'm like, this would make a cool story minus Star Wars stuff. And now, you know.
I was almost like, with the exception of the red lightsaber and the Sith at the very end, it was almost like I was about 6 minutes in going, there's not a lot of there's like speeders.
Yeah.
And that was it. You know, it was sort of like this could have been any other kind of sci-fi, you know, type of thing. And it was almost like, oh, okay, well, let's throw a lightsaber and a Sith guy in there and that'll make it Star Wars or whatever.
Like they
I don't know.
Some sort of Irish myth and made it Sith-ine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I liked it. I mean, I would have liked it. Like I said, I would have liked it if it was a story without the Star Wars angle.
I like the Banshee.
The vocalization of the Banshee was like,
awesome. Yeah.
Wow, that was awesome. Yeah. Like this gal really was screaming on the top of her lungs. You know, it was impressive, you know.
Yeah. And then she killed her and became the new apprentice.
So a force cave test. All right, so we still digging this one?
Yeah. I really am. I am.
All right, looking forward to the next one. Stick with us on this. The Three Old Geeks are now on YouTube. Check us out there, and don't forget to like, share, and subscribe.
If you can't find us, stop by our Facebook page to get a link. And while you're there, drop us a line and let us know what you think of the podcast. Tune in next week, same geek time, on all your favorite apps for all new, all different material. Thanks a lot for listening, and hey, keep on geeking on.